The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is paid for by Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, who is solely responsible for its content. Portions transcribed.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning and welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, thank you. We have with us, I don't know, what number is this?
Third or fourth time in.
Yep. I think they're new besties. I'm not
10th
sure.
10th week. We have attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again.
We have a lot more to talk about.
We do. It's exciting.
Great stuff we have coming on today. We are here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., where we talk real estate. We have an exceptional real estate office with many relentless realtors who've been appraising, listing, and selling real estate for over 50 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you go to jruddy.com, click on the webcam tab. It's on the top of the page and on the mobile. Everybody's looking at it from their phone. But you get a live view of Dunmore Corners. You never know what you're going to see there, especially this time of year.
View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to mobile-friendly jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where we also have all the popular podcast apps that we feature this radio show on. And check us out on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, etc. Okay, Michelle O'Brien, attorney Michelle O'Brien, owner of the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. If you can give me a little rundown on who you are, what you do every day.
Sure. I'm Michelle O'Brien. I've had the O'Brien Law Group for over 16 years now. We practice in the areas of real estate, corporate, business, oil and gas, and commercial lending law. I also own Pinnacle Abstract, which is a title company helping people buy and sell real estate.
So for those that don't really know the difference between an attorney and an abstract company, you know, to do a real estate deal, to get it closed, people sometimes opt for an abstract company, and that's not to have you as their attorney.
Absolutely. So, you know, good news is when you come to the O'Brien Law Group or Pinnacle Abstract, you can get both. But the real difference is that the abstract company can issue title insurance. A real estate lawyer can't. So if you're getting a bank loan in order to buy a piece of property, they are going to require title insurance, which is something that we can provide through the title company. If you're doing a cash deal and you want to just make sure that there's no liens or taxes due or anything else that could affect title to the property, then you would usually opt to get title insurance. And that's what our title company can do.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about stigmatized property. What is a stigmatized property?
I don't know that there's an actual definition for a stigmatized
property.
From
a legal perspective.
Oh, legal. I know what it is. I'm not going to say.
Well, usually we talk about a stigmatized property as being something, a property that has something that has maybe a psychological effect on owners or buyers or neighbors or something like that. It would be something, maybe a house that has people claiming that it's haunted, or somewhere there's been a murder or a suicide, or we were even talking before the show, a meth lab in the past. Something that has happened that might make people think that there are some heebie-jeebies in the house or in the property.
Okay.
Right. There was a house in Dunmore. It was actually on Saturday Night Live years ago. And they said it was advertised. You know the one I'm talking about, right? It was in the MLS. And it says it was advertised as a slightly haunted house.
Wow.
Yes. And when you looked in the mirror in the bathroom, you could see someone looking over your shoulder.
Wow.
It might have been a poster on the wall behind you, too. But, you know, that was what they did. And they wanted attention. They got the attention. It was on Saturday Night Live. I mean, so.
Sometimes people like properties like that.
Not me, no thanks.
Not me either.
So they carry a story. These homes carry a story.
Absolutely.
Good, bad, or indifferent. And could be exciting or on the other end of it, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes those stories make buyers think twice.
Absolutely.
There's buyers that want.
Right, they're attracted to that.
A paranormal activity going on in their residence.
I'm out.
I'm out too, yeah.
And sometimes you can prove it and sometimes you can't. No. So like something like haunting, you can't prove if it is or if it isn't. But there are other things like a murder or a suicide where it's absolutely provable and there's a history to that house.
I feel like if they're younger, first-time homebuyers, they give a little bit more thought to that. There's like some buyers that wouldn't even consider purchasing a property that's anywhere near a cemetery.
Right.
It doesn't have to be in the exact vicinity, but a half a block away, or never mind, across the street or next door. Actually,
yes, I know somebody who owns a piece of land right next to a cemetery.
That was beneficial to us after the trauma that we lived for a decade. You know, we did purchase land out in the country with the idea, the notion of building a property that we didn't have neighbors directly next to us. So it was a positive for us. But right. I could see people would stay completely away from that.
Right.
Like joke, the cemetery, they're quiet neighbors.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they are quiet.
They're very
neighbors.
Quiet.
I didn't know that this was allowed, but I'm working on a property right now through the law firm and the title company, actually, where one of the, I think it's like the owner's daughter or something, told us that their dad is buried in the backyard of this property, which I don't know if that's allowed or not, but crazy. And who's going to want to buy that if they ever found that out?
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a little, whoa.
Yeah.
I just read a news story where someone confessed on video of murdering his parents and burying them.
Wow.
So,
well, I don't think in this situation it was a confession. I think, like, everything was on the up and up with his death.
Hopefully it's
just
his ashes.
It might just be his ashes.
Yeah. I didn't read the story, so I don't know the details where they're buried and how long ago it was. I have no idea. But, yeah, so, like, cemeteries are sacred ground, right? So you're not supposed to go anywhere near them.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we know somebody that built next to a cemetery, and they kind of went over the boundaries, and it was a big social media thing. And
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, really close. I mean, like, you reach out and touch close.
Oh, my goodness.
From the house to the tombstones. No, thank you.
All right.
That's too close.
So these stigmatized properties, so they have a story, whether it's paranormal activity, murder, suicide, do you have to disclose it in Pennsylvania?
So what we're talking about is that a seller has an obligation when they are selling a house to fill out what's called a seller's disclosure that then they provide to the buyer. And if they have a realtor, it obviously goes through the realtor, but they have to disclose certain things that Pennsylvania requires you to disclose. Those things that Pennsylvania requires that you disclose are things that are considered material defects to the house. So this would be things about the roof, things about the electrical system, things about do you get water in the basement? All the kinds of things that you're going to want to know when you are buying a house. But the real question is what we consider these murders, suicides, a natural death, a haunting, something like that. Those are considered in Pennsylvania psychological stigmas. And in Pennsylvania, not in all other states, but in Pennsylvania, you do not have to disclose a psychological stigma unless you're asked specifically. So if the potential buyer is asking specifically, did any of these things happen in the house? Was there a prior meth lab in this house? Whatever it is, if you're asked directly, you can't lie about it, but you don't have to disclose it on your seller's disclosure form. Now, if it was already in the news, if it was in the newspaper, if it was on, you know, it's talk in the neighborhood and you're going to hear it from a neighbor, maybe it makes sense for sellers to disclose that on their own just to avoid some bad will in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And as a buyer, you could also just Google the address and see what comes up.
Absolutely.
That's what I was told to do if you have a question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the previous news articles should come up.
Right.
You know, it's not foolproof, but if it's a big one, it'll
right.
come
if
up.
Right, especially if it's an out-of-town buyer, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm.
And who knows if a haunting would show up if in that kind of a situation, but it might.
Mm-hmm. Right, so a paranormal house, or excuse me, a stigmatized property is not the same as a defective property because there's no physical defect, but a perceived negative reputation.
Right.
Okay, so, and that boils down to the buyer and how they feel about things. So something, it's not required on our disclosure. It's not a question. Have there ever been any haunting sightings of paranormal activity, murder, suicide, death, natural death, even a natural death,
right,
where people pass away comfortably mm-hmm. with or surrounded by family, that sometimes that freaks out people.
Right. What about, are there sex offenders living in the neighborhood? Do you have to disclose that? You don't have to. Because, and again, if you're a buyer, you could, you know, do a search for that because those are online as well. Things like buried oil tanks or an abandoned septic system in the yard, those I think are really a gray area. You might have to disclose it. You might not have to disclose it. But if you know about it, you probably should.
Right.
Disclose, right? Isn't that what you always say?
Yes.
It's better to say too much than too little.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're walking into a house, and what if you get a creepy feeling? What do you do, Jackie? Walk out?
Well, there are houses that you get a dark, creepy feeling. Sometimes, I don't know.
I have.
Yeah, so what do you do? What do you do?
Do you tell your buyers, oh, do you feel this creepy feeling?
No, that's me. Those are my internal messages, right?
Right?
So why would I, you know, I wouldn't. I let the buyers move through the property at their pace and feel what they need to feel. I'm not going to tell them how I feel. It's not about me,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
Sometimes you do get a nice, warm, homey feeling, and sometimes you do just get that. The ick from the house.
I like that, the ick.
Yeah.
Even when they're gone, like yeah. totally a vacant property, sometimes you could just feel things. Mm-hmm. But all right, so how about celebrity homes? I mean, that could be, you know, something that, you know, increases value. But then there's those celebrity scandals.
Absolutely.
Or fraud that, you know, like Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that down.
Yeah. I don't, you know, where things happen, where people do really bad things in life, do you want to be living in their space?
Right.
I don't think
you have to necessarily disclose that, but whoever owned the property previous to you would be disclosed in the title search.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so there's an emotional buyer impact. There's market perception. You know, the price impact. Sometimes we have to figure these things out, and it's not easy to do.
No, it's not.
But what's legal sometimes isn't the ethical. So mm-hmm. I say that sometimes. I've been saying that a lot more lately than before. But sometimes, you know, ethically, I've shared with buyers things that I've known because they've asked me to.
Mm-hmm.
But just because it's not on the disclosure.
The other thing is, I wouldn't do what we call affirmative misrepresentation or lying. So if somebody did ask you, you really do need to tell them. But if you don't know, you don't know. That's not an affirmative misrepresentation. But if you're blatantly lying about it to try and make sure someone buys the house, that's against the disclosure rules.
Well, let's go deeper, because who's to say if I told them that they're not going to forget. So I've had situations in the past where we have told and they come back a year or two later and I'm in a magisterial court defending what we've told, mm-hmm. you know, where other witnesses are coming in saying, you know, from, you know, businesses, different types of authorities, the sewer authority, everybody's zoning people, everybody's standing around a hole in the ground, and we still were found that we didn't tell them. So it's tricky.
It is tricky. It's very hard legally to enforce the disclosures after the closing has already happened. I mean, it absolutely can. I mean, you've been through it. So it absolutely can happen that you can try and enforce a disclosure post-closing. A lot of times that would be like a foundation issue or something like that. That would, it wouldn't be like any of these stigmatized issues, but it would be something, well, I wouldn't think it would be a stigmatized issue, but it would be something more like a foundation crumbling or whatever it is, something that you could not have discovered somehow, but that should have been disclosed on the disclosure form. But they are very, very hard to win post-closing because after closing, it's assumed that you hired all of your inspectors, that you did all of your research, that you made sure that the house you were buying is the house you wanted to buy and that it was in the condition that you wanted to buy it in. And then once the deed is signed and you've paid your money, then everybody goes along on their way.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to enforce.
In this particular instance, it was on the disclosure. Authorities were there. Witnesses were there. And we were still found like, I don't know how that was, but I often hear that the magistrates just split it down the middle and tell everybody go on their merry way. But these are the things that are very concerning as a real estate professional.
Absolutely. Right? And I do tell all my clients in lots of situations that anybody can sue anybody for anything.
Right.
It's just a matter of, you know, who's on the right side and what does the judge think in that situation.
Yeah.
How much you want to spend.
Right.
With us today is attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group and Pinnacle Abstract. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
We are located on Kaiser Avenue in Taylor, Pennsylvania. Phone number is 570-209-7901. And you can research us or reach out to us through our websites at www.obrienlawpa.com or www.pinnacle-abstract.com.
Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a mixed-use building that's a street-level storefront and two apartments at 301 Tedrick Street in Pittston for only $99,000. The commercial occupancy is complete and ready to go, but the two apartments will need to be remodeled. With the right vision and renovations, you could turn this into a dream setup, and it would be perfect for a 203K renovation loan. That's a storefront with two apartments at 301 Tedrick Street in Pittston for $99,000, and that's listed by Joanne Rizzino of our office.
Thank you, Pat. We'll be right back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker.
Home. It's more than just walls and a roof. It's where laughter echoes, where memories are made, and where life truly happens. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we know that finding the right home isn't just about real estate. It's about finding your place in the world. With trusted agents, unmatched experience, and a commitment to your dreams, we're here to guide you every step of the way. Because at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we're not just selling houses, we're delivering the joy of home. Find your perfect home today. Call 570-344-6724 or go to jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Dream big. Move boldly. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate and 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband, fellow realtor.
And we're back.
We are back with attorney Michelle O'Brien, the O'Brien Law Group, and Pinnacle Abstract. We're talking about stigmatized properties. I don't think we've hit on this topic in a long, long time.
We haven't.
No. And before the break, so we were talking about, you know, things that we tell people that could come back and they can say they never told, we never told them, right? Well, we had a house listed and not too long ago, just several years ago. And so we were the listing office and then another office sold it. And the buyer called a week or two after closing and said, why didn't you disclose the person in the house passed away by suicide? And we had no idea. They never moved in the house. And that week they put it back up on the market and sold it. But the neighbor, you know, Pat, you mentioned before the break to Google an address if somebody wants to know something about it. But the kind neighbor came over and let these people know before they moved in. So they did find out about it, and they wouldn't move in, and they wanted to sell the house, and they did.
But if you don't know, you don't know.
No.
And especially with suicide,
people keep that
reported.
It's not reported. It's usually something very private.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think people have gone to court in Pennsylvania over this and have been shot down because, for the lack of a better expression, because they say that they're psychologically impacted, but it's not a disclosure law.
Right. In Pennsylvania.
No. Mm-hmm. And some states it is.
Absolutely.
So, right. So whether it's a spooky story, a tragic past, or a notorious event, we're not just selling a house with roof and walls, right?
Right.
So selling peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And people need it and want it, especially in today's day and age. They want to feel secure, right?
Absolutely.
So we're talking about all the downsides. Let's talk to some upsides.
Yeah, what upside stories do you have?
Sure. I have a personal one, actually. And, you know, you don't have to disclose any of this either on the seller's disclosure, all the good things that could come about it. But I had bought a house, and we had been living there, and one day it was pouring rain. These women had been sitting outside my house. I was getting ready to leave, but I was delaying leaving because they were staring at my house for like 15 minutes. So I finally went out and asked if I, like, can I help you? Is there something you need? She said, actually, I'm wondering if we could come in. And I'm like, well, who are you? And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. My grandfather built this house like 100 years ago, and I grew up here. I used to live here. She ends up being a New York Times bestselling author who lives in LA, and she came in and I showed her around the house. Now, the house had been fully renovated before I bought it by I think it was a family member of hers, but it had been fully renovated. It used to be, I guess, an upstairs apartment and a downstairs apartment where their family had lived and she had grown up. But we showed her around the house, and of course she was amazed because it really was a beautiful renovation. But she got home to LA. She sent me a copy of her book and had written in it. And it was really lovely. But, you know, you don't hear sometimes the past history of a house that, you know, we talk about that good feeling. The second I had walked in that house, I was like, this is it. I feel like at home here. Definitely a family used to live here, and they were so happy. And it was actually true, and it was such a nice feeling. But you don't have, you know, you don't ever know the history of a house, especially around here with very, very old houses. So there's lots of history in these houses.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
My parents bought a house in Breezy Point, New York, in 1977, I was young. And the people that we bought it from, they had passed away, but they had built the house. And they had movie theaters, and they had money. So there was a safe in the basement. When you opened the safe, there was another safe.
Oh.
There was a safe in a safe in a safe basement. But anyway, the house would always, and they had the grapevines. It was a Greek guy. And there was always, not always, but lots of times we felt like there was somebody watching you.
Oh.
You know, and it wasn't bad or anything. It just, And then I had a girlfriend who was really connected. You know, she was like a spiritual kind of thing. And she told me she saw somebody sitting at the dining room table. And I said, get out of here. I says, you're crazy. She goes, no. She goes, he was sitting there. And she described this person to me. And I described it to the neighbor. And the neighbor goes, oh, my God. That's the old guy who used to live there. That's exactly what he looked like, you know, with the white tank top and the white hair. And he was bald and he had dark skin. She goes, oh, my God, that's the Damatas.
Wow.
Yeah. So
did you ever open the safe?
Yeah, there was nothing in there.
Oh, there was nothing in there.
Yeah. That would be a better story.
There was nothing in the safe. Getting the safe out was a story in itself.
I bet.
You know, because the thing weighed 1,000,000 pounds. So.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay. So we're talking, my mother, her childhood home was in the hill section of Scranton where she grew up. And that was back in the day when they had, well, they, I guess we still have people that like nannies that live in a house, au pairs. And, but they had a live-in housekeeper. And so when we went through the house, it was a single when my mom grew up, their family lived in it as a single family residence. So when it became for sale, it was actually a five unit. So it was converted over the years into a five unit where they broke up the house into five apartments. So when it became available, my mother said, you know, Jackie, let's go through it. And she showed me where her bedroom was and where her live-in housekeeper was and so on and so forth. And my mom had nightmares for weeks afterwards for why, you know, what they did to the house, cut it up, you know, and took out some really beautiful wood. And but then someone else came along after that and took it back from, bought it and took it from a five unit down
back to a single unit.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
So, that's a lot of work too.
Right.
Five kitchens.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So those are things that, you know, I wouldn't have appreciated if my mom wasn't there to walk me through it. But I certainly, it's a grand home from the outside. But what they did on the inside was, and they were wanted to make money and do that. So it was their right. But now it's back to where it was when she was a young girl. So that's good. So Google it.
Mm-hmm.
Research it. It's on the buyer, right? Ask. Sometimes realtors don't know, even current owners. It could be 10 owners removed from a situation.
Right. When you were, remember your dad used to say, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware, right? Mm-hmm. Before all of these.
Talk to the neighbors before closing.
Make sure you have a good home inspector for those physical material defects.
Mm-hmm. And if it's going to keep you up at night or hurt your investment, move on. Find something else. Okay, Attorney Michelle O'Brien, Pinnacle Abstract and the O'Brien Law Group. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
Phone number is 570-209-7901, or our website is o'brienlawpa.com or pinnacle-abstract.com.
Pat?
Yes, we have a move-in ready, two-bedroom, two-bath home at 708 Morse Avenue in Simpson for $168,000. This home is beautifully updated. It has new flooring, new granite countertops, brand new plumbing, updated 200-amp electrical, fresh interior and exterior paint. The property also includes an additional parcel of land next door that is a driveway and the garage. Taxes are low at less than $2,000 a year. You could probably live here for less than you're paying for rent today. That's a renovated two-bedroom, two-bath home with a garage at 708 Morse Avenue in Simpson for $168,000, and that's listed by Nicole Clark of our office.
We'd like to thank our sponsor this week, Campus Jewelers. If you're looking to turn your gold, silver, or fine jewelry into top dollar, head to Campus Jewelers. They specialize in buying and selling large diamonds, estate and engagement pieces, gold, antiques, coins, watches, and more. From broken chains to class rings, mismatched earrings to dental gold, they buy it all, and they guarantee the highest cash paid. They're always buying, always fair, and all trades are of value or considered. Visit Campus Jewelers, 476 Bennett Street in Luzerne. Call 570-288-1966 or go to campusjewelers.com. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturdays, 10 to 3. Campus Jewelers, where your pieces are priceless. Check back in with us next week, Saturday at 11 a.m. Sunday at 11:30 a.m. for more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate and 94.3 The Talker.